in this letter, we see wonderfully clearly who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing now, and what Jesus will do.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us. And Colin, I'll admit that I tend to often think this way, and I've heard other Christians say things along the lines of, when I think of the work that Jesus has done, I think of what he accomplished on the cross. I think of, you know, him fulfilling the purpose of the Father by going to the cross and being the sacrifice for my sin, not necessarily thinking about what he's doing now or will do.
Yes, and this is a case of both and, isn't it? It's right that our first thought should be about what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. But we must remember too, he's not on the cross now. He rose from the dead, he's ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again as our glorious King. And we're in the last message today in a series in 1 John, and we've been looking at this question of assurance. And we end on this marvelous note of hope. We struggle in so many ways with sin that remains in our lives, but it will not always be so. We're looking at 1 John in chapter 3, where we have this wonderful, wonderful statement. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Now, that's the most glorious hope, that we're actually going to be like Jesus. That's where we're destined. That's what we're going to be. That's the glorious future. And if you know that that is your glorious future, it's going to affect the way that you live today. And that's why John says the person who has this hope in him or her, well, that person's going to purify him or herself, even as Jesus himself is pure.
Well, let's continue to look at this from 1 John chapter 3, looking at verses 1 to 3 today as we continue our message. Assurance grows as you look to the work of the Son. Here's Pastor Colin.
Learn to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This will be a means by which you grow in assurance. Before we move on today, let me just pause here and try and press this point home. You know, it seems to me that sometimes we fail to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives because his work in us is not yet complete. John says, well, now, if you're truly a Christian, you believe and you love and you obey. And then some of us respond to that, perhaps even during this series, by saying, ah, yes, but you see, my faith is not as strong as it should be. I have so many questions, doubts, and fears, so that makes me wonder if it's the real thing. My love is not as deep as it should be. My heart's very often cold, so it just makes me wonder, am I a real thing? My obedience isn't as full as it should be. You know, I am so far from being the person that God calls me to be. Yes, all of that is true. But you see, the reason that it is true is because you are a work in progress. So draw assurance from this. The work in progress is truly the work of the Holy Spirit. It is all good, though none of it is yet complete. He is at work in you. Learn to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So this is where we've been over these last weeks. How does assurance come to us? It's not only a goal to pursue, it's a gift to enjoy. How does it come to us? It grows through the word of God the Father. So listen to the word of grace that God speaks to you in Jesus Christ. Lean on his promise. Remember that he justifies those who have faith in Jesus and that God is greater than your condemning heart. And assurance grows through the witness of the Holy Spirit. So learn to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember that you are a work in progress, and don't dismiss what God is doing in your life simply because it is not yet complete. And then the last leg of our journey today, assurance grows through the work of God the Son. And John keeps
coming back to this throughout his letter, and that's why we keep coming back to this throughout this series. The ministry of God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this letter, we see wonderfully clearly who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing now, and what Jesus will do. Who Jesus is, John makes so clear, Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 4 and verse 9, God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Or chapter 4 and verse 14, the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Or chapter 4 and verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I will never forget John Nyquist, who's a member of this congregation for many years and served as professor of evangelism and discipleship at our seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He told me once over a meal that he had once led someone to faith in Christ using a knife and a fork and a spoon. I said, you got to tell me about that. And he told me that on one occasion he was sitting at a table with a young lad who had a very limited capacity for understanding. And in front of him there was a knife and a fork and a spoon. So he picked up the knife and the fork, one in each hand, and he said, "Now this one loves this one. And this one loves this one." Then he put the knife and the fork in the same hand and picked up the spoon. And he said, "And these two, they really love this one." And he put them down and he pushed the spoon away over to the other side of the table. And he picked up the knife and pointing to the spoon, he said, "Now if this one slips away, what do you think this one will do?" And the boy immediately picked up the fork and he said, "He'll send this one to go and bring him back." He'd got it. He'd understood the very heart of the gospel and of the Christmas story. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father and the Son really love you. And when you slipped away and were lost, the Father sent the Son to save you, to bring you back. That's the Christmas story. And you see, it's exactly what John says in the simplest and the plainest language here. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And John makes it clear, if you will believe in him, then God will abide in you and you will abide in him. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God who came into the world to bring us back to the Father. What has Jesus done? Well, John makes it very clear, and we've seen this in our series, that Jesus is our propitiation, a long word and a very important one to grasp and understand. He uses it twice in this letter, chapter 4 and verse 10. In this is love. He's going to tell us how we know what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says the same thing in chapter 2 and verse 2. He, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, a propitiation is simply a gift or payment offered to satisfy the need of justice, to placate an offended person, and to settle a case. And since our sins are by definition offenses against God, it follows that God must be the one who determines what the propitiation must be. And John tells us here that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. God, in his amazing love, has sent his one and only Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And what that means is that when Jesus died on the cross, all that was due to us on account of our sins was actually poured out on him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that is why Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now think about this. All that was due to us on account of our sins was poured out on Jesus when he hung there on the cross. And when it was done, when it was spent, when it was exhausted, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." We were just talking about the work of the Holy Spirit that's not yet complete, weren't we? But you see, while the work of the Spirit in us is not yet complete, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us is absolutely complete. All that could ever be needed for you, very far yet from what God calls you to be, very incomplete, still a work in progress, nevertheless, all that is needed for you to be forgiven and reconciled to God has been accomplished by Jesus on the cross, and therefore you can rest on his completed work.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, looking today at how assurance grows through the work of God the Son. Now, we're going to pause the message right here, but we'll continue on our next broadcast. If you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always listen online at openthebible.org, or you can order a copy of the entire series called How Can I Be Sure on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Who Jesus is, he's the Son of God. What has he done? He is the propitiation for our sins. What's he doing now? Well, John lays out so clearly that Jesus is our advocate. Chapter 2 and verse 1, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins." Now, an advocate, very simply and obviously, is a person who represents you and speaks in your defense. And John says that Jesus is our advocate. That is, he represents us in heaven itself. And the defense that Jesus offers in regards to all the ways that we still fall short of all that God calls us to be, the defense that Jesus offers is that he is the propitiation for our sins. So you see, when Jesus represents you in heaven, he does not claim that you have not sinned. So, by the way, you shouldn't do that either. No need to pretend. He doesn't do any pretending at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And when Jesus represents you in heaven, he doesn't try and explain your sins away. He doesn't say, "Well, you have to remember that she's been under a lot of pressure, and of course she's been wronged by various other people in life." And Jesus doesn't seek to excuse your sins, and so you shouldn't do that either. No, when Jesus represents you in heaven, he rests the case on his own redeeming work on your behalf. He, she belongs to me. His, her sins have been paid for entirely. And you see, that is why God, who is just, justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and in Christ, your sins truly have been paid for. So Jesus is the Son of God. That's who he is. He's our propitiation. That's what he's done. He's our advocate. That's what he's doing right now. And what will he do in the future? Well, John makes it so clear in these wonderful verses that we've read that Jesus is coming again. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Notice how John uses the word know again here. He's talking about assurance. What do we know? Well, we know that we will see Jesus. We shall see him, brothers and sisters, as he is. This Christian life that we're living, it's a life of faith. We love and trust and follow a person we have never seen, but he has promised that it will not always be so. Jesus said to his disciples, I will come again. And you remember that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father this way. He said, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me will be with me where I am, and that they will see my glory. The Son of God prayed to the Father that you will see him in all of his glory. And John says here, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're a child of God, and here's what lies ahead. We will see him as he is. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. And as if that were not enough, John says, and when we see him, we shall be like him. You see, brother, sister in Christ, not only are you going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory, you're going to share in the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See him in his glory and become like him in his glory. That means that there is going to be a completed reflection of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, and we're going to see it in each other. What a joy that's going to be. If you're blessed with a happy marriage, you will often have seen light and joy in the eye of your husband or your wife. But on the day when in Christ your husband and wife is made perfect and truly glorified, you're going to see a light and a joy in their eyes such as you have never seen before. You think about that friend or colleague who has endured ill health over so many years, perhaps really limiting life and shaping it in a very, very significant way. And he, she is going to be strong, fit in body, ready to explore the full wonders of God's new creation. And that dear friend or colleague who has, or family member who has struggled to rise above the dark clouds of depression, perhaps for years, this cloud just hanging over her or him. But if they're in Christ, you're going to see him or her radiant with joy. Like him. Like him in his glory. You see, the purpose of God, this is what the whole of human history is all about. This is what creation itself is all about. The purpose of God, the apostle says in Romans in chapter 8, has always been to reproduce the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father wants to multiply the image of the Son he loves, and he's going to do it in millions and millions of people. And God's great purpose, John is saying here, is going to be wonderfully, fully realized in you. When we see him, we will be like him. So try and take this in, how rich we are in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We know that we are children of God. We know that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that when we see him, we will be like him. So the point of this whole series has been that God wants you to live in the joy and in the peace of knowing that all of these wonderful gifts really are yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I end by encouraging you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear this promise that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everyone. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. The evidence that you really have been born of God is that you believe in his Son, that you love his people, that you're seeking to obey his commands, and assurance will grow in your life. Peace and joy will multiply in your life as you pursue these things. So lean on the word of God. Listen to the witness of the Spirit of God and look to the work of the Son of God and let the Word of God the Father and the witness of God the Spirit and the work, past, present, and future, of God the Son bring you peace and hope and joy.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith as we wrap up our message, Assurance Grows as You Look at the Work of the Son, the final in our series, How Can I Be Sure? A series all about assurance. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching, whether it's on the radio, the app, or online, as well as all the other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, as our way of saying thanks, we want to send you a book written by Donald MacLeod called Faith Undaunted. And Colin, what is this book about?
Well, it's in the title, Faith Undaunted. And the word undaunted, of course, is recognizing that we live at a time when there are many people who want to dismiss Christian faith absolutely. How could you possibly believe this? It's outdated and so forth. And I think sometimes Christians feel intimidated by the dismissive way in which people speak about Christian faith as if it was absolutely impossible. Donald MacLeod, who is a professor, a very, very brilliant man, makes the point very clearly that actually everyone has some sort of faith, whether it be an atheist, whether it be someone who is looking at science and is dismissing Christian faith. Everyone is drawing conclusions from certain data, and Christians are the same. Christians are drawing conclusions from evidence that is made available to us. And he makes this point very, very compellingly. And so I find that this is a book that I think will encourage Christians, in other words, give some courage so that we are undaunted. There is reason for believing what you believe as a Christian. Don't let anybody intimidate you about your faith. Faith Undaunted will help you to have the courage of your convictions, and I think it was a really helpful and encouraging book.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a six-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible for every believer. The six sessions will introduce you to six central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.